Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, people. Welcome to the Brovian Talks right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Brovian93, at Brovian93 on Twitter for news, information, and occasional opinion and stuff. It's been a while since I've done a show, but starting today, as the election and year draw to a close, and into next year, I'll be planning on doing a show every single day, nonstop, to the best of my abilities. And boy, a lot has happened since I last been on the air. So I guess we'll start with the election. I'm going to give my 2 cents on the second debate. But before I do, I have to say that this whole debate process is full of you-know-what. I mean, how can you have 3 debates and not have any other candidate on stage except for the 2 major parties? I mean, you have the Green Party and the Libertarians who are on the ballot in enough states to become president. It's not like they're in a handful of states. They're in almost every state in the country. How are they not allowed in at least 1 debate? I'm not saying include them in all 3, but if you are a third party and you are on the ballot equal 270 electoral votes, you should be on at least 1 debate. At least 1. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, it's sickening, and it's something that has to change. And as I said last time, how I would do the debate if I was in charge of this whole thing is that the first debate would include all the candidates who are on the ballot equal 270. That's the first debate. So I'll be Republican, Democrat, Green, Libertarian, anybody else. On the ballot in enough states to win the presidency. The second debate would be candidate polling above 10% on average. And the only polls that should be included are the ones, of course, that involve all the candidates in the first debate. And then the last debate, debate 3, you have, 2 hours, just the 2 main parties. And that, to me, is the fairest way to go about this. Because the way now sucks. I think my way is pretty darn good. But that's a talk for another time. Probably tomorrow. But today, before it becomes really old news, I want to talk about debate 2 and the events leading up to debate number 2. We all know in the events leading up to Sunday night, Donald Trump, his week went from bad to worse, to unimaginable horror. That tape that came out on Friday or Saturday was so damning that it probably gave every Trump voter pause to see if they would actually go out and vote for him or continue to support him. Because listening to the full tape, it's not good. It really doesn't look good. Did it sound good? It sounds absolutely horrendous. And I really do believe Trump is truly embarrassed by it. I really believe he's embarrassed by it. And you know what? For the first time in this campaign, he actually apologized, which shows you how bad and embarrassed he is. Coming into Sunday, Trump's campaign was about to blow up. He had no chance. Hillary Clinton had the opportunity to put Trump away for good, to make Trump another Goldwater, another McGovern, another Mondale. She had a chance to win this election in an ultra landslide that we haven't seen since 84. And Trump apparently had nothing to lose. He really had nothing to lose going into debate two because he was seen as dead. And as the old saying goes, you never pick a fight with somebody who has nothing to lose because there's no way you come out the winner in that struggle. No matter what it is, a fight, a debate, an argument, have you, if you take on somebody who has nothing to lose, I can almost guarantee you almost every time you'll lose. And that person who has nothing to lose will almost always win. It almost always happens. And debate two, it was never more true. Because this debate was everything debate one wasn't. Debate one was boring. Debate one was bland. You know, I was watching debate one, and I'm like, this sucks. This is boring. You know, all this hype for this. Debate two should have been a pay-per-view. And my God, did he lay into her. I don't think anybody has spoken to Hillary like that for the past 30 years. And every Republican who's been fighting with Hillary Clinton for the past 20 or 25 years had to have a loss of voice at the end of the night. They were cheering so hard. They were clapping so hard. There must be some kind of party out there somewhere after what he did to her. And the question is now, was this too little, too late? In the first 10 or 15 minutes of the debate, the topic was obviously the video, or the recording, whatever you want to call it, that came out. And Trump, you know, I think Trump gave the best answer Trump could give. But I don't think it was satisfying enough or reassuring enough. But Trump was able to move on from it during the debate because the debate could have easily been focused on that tape alone, but it wasn't. Unlike debate one, they focused a little bit more on policy, not completely, but a little bit more than debate one. Hillary had a strong first 20 minutes when she quoted Michelle Obama, "When they go low, we go high," trying to sound relatable, trying to sound as a uniter, talking about the many Republicans who are leaving Trump. You know, she was really trying to go in for the kill. And after that first 20-minute mark, when Trump completely let loose and really dug into her, that was when the whole debate turned. Up until the last 15 to 10 minutes, when the debate got dull again, and like, okay, it's over, whatever. So debate one, I thought it was a tie, honestly. Debate one, I thought it was a tie. Neither candidate really impressed me. But the polls showed otherwise. The polls said Hillary dominated debate one. So, based on that, debate one goes to Hillary. VP debate, I think it goes to Pence by default because Kane is absolutely horrendous. And debate two goes to Trump. And the headline coming out of debate two is Trump lives to fight another day. This debate performance doesn't put Trump on top or winning the election. It stops the bleeding and it gives him another chance to try to climb back up in the polls. Because this may well be the straw that breaks the camel's back. It might be. You know, Trump dug into her emails. He dug into Bill Clinton's past. He dug into her past. He dug into her failed foreign policy in the Middle East. I mean, he really did a doozy on her. And talking about Bill Clinton's past and this Trump video, I have to talk about the hypocrisy, I can't honestly think of another word for it. It's completely, absolutely hypocrisy. I have never thought in a million years that politics is really this bad. It's horrendous. And the old thing is true. If you're a politician, if you're doing politics, you really have no soul. You don't. I mean, it's so unbelievably soulless. I can't believe how bad it is. It's terrible. I'm going to use this Trump sex tape and the Bill Clinton history as evidence. Because it shows that not just Republicans are hypocrites, but Democrats are hypocrites. I mean, this is a two-way street. If you look at the 1990s, what was one of the main criticisms Republicans gave Bill Clinton? One of the main things they attacked Bill Clinton on was character. How he treats women, his sister. And all the Democrats out there said, character doesn't matter. Character doesn't mean he won't be a great president. And they defended Bill Clinton against his accusations. They voted for him. They attacked the accusers, calling them tramps. Because Bill Clinton was a Democrat, all these left-wingers defended Bill Clinton no matter what. And now that Trump has been saying these things about women, or sexist, that are offensive, all these Democrats now are attacking Trump for character. They're all attacking his character, saying, oh, Trump hates women. Trump's an abuser. You defended Bill Clinton for God knows how long. You defended Hillary Clinton, who defended Bill's behavior for, what, 20-plus years. And you're taking Donald Trump because of what he said? That's the definition of hypocrisy. You're hypocrites. And Republicans, you too. I always thought Republicans put a huge emphasis on their character. Their character is one of the key elements they want in a president. It was one of the things they attacked Bill Clinton on, character. And now, disappointing Donald Trump, a billionaire playboy? I mean, come on. You know, and the media is disgusting. It really is. All the people who attacked Clinton for so long on how he treats women are voting for Trump. And all the people who attacked Clinton, let me say that over again. All the people who defended Clinton against these accusations, defended his character, are now against Trump. All Republicans who attacked Clinton, all Democrats who defended Clinton are attacking Trump. I mean, it's so completely hypocritical. It's so phony. It's absolutely disgusting. In the media, oh my God, how biased are these people? I mean, there's a huge uproar about Donald Trump saying that if he's president, he'll put Hillary in jail. I mean, it was an off-the-cuff remark. Relax. I mean, how stupid are these people? How blinded are they by the partisanship? I mean, these people are not journalists. They're not. They're advocates. They don't care about the truth. They care about their own agenda. And before you Republicans say anything, let it be clear that if Hillary Clinton said what Trump said, you'll be doing the same exact thing. You'll be going, oh, how can Hillary do this? What is this, communist Russia or something? You'll be doing the same exact thing, so don't talk, please. It really is disgusting. It really makes me sick. It really does. But boy, I mean, you know. And yet people wonder why Bernie Sanders did so well. Why Gary Johnson is high in the polls. Why Joe Stone is getting some traction. Why people don't want to be affiliated with two parties anymore. It's disgusting. And the media is even worse than the politics because their job is to report the news inaccurately. Can you honestly tell me that the media is reporting the news accurately? And if you think the answer is yes, I don't know what the hell you're smoking. I really don't. On a much lighter note, the baseball playoffs, as many of you may or may not know, the Rangers to win the American League. And now, that was wrong because they got swept by Toronto. Their starting pitching was horrendous. Toronto's offense was a home run hitting machine. And they beat them. The Indians swept the Red Sox, which I always got that series right. I had me as winning. I didn't think it would be a 3-game sweep. But they completely outplayed Boston. Francona completely outmanaged them. National League the National League series are way more interesting. That Dodgers National Series is up and down. That could go either way. Kershaw had a decent game one, a strong game four today. He had a bad sixth inning, I think it was, which he got tied the game up. But he had a good couple of innings. That national offense is clutch. I mean, this team's performing a lot better in the postseason under Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker did a great job for this team, and they're playing like playoff. They are playing like a playoff team. They're playing like a team that we wanted to see for the past five or six years. They're finally playing to the level we have them to now. They finally are. The Cubs. I mean, they had to win Game 3 yesterday. You wanted to end that series so badly. And now it's Game 2. Oh, wow, tied. Oh, is that true? Get out of here. They tied the game up? Wow. Okay. I got the TV on. Crap. There's 5-2 and some inning left on my check. Is it really 5-5? I got to do that. Hold on a second. Is it 5-5? Get out of here. I doubt it. And, yeah, 5-5, top 9. What? You got 3 runs in the 9th inning, okay. Well, if the Cubs win today, the Cubs want to get one more run in. They have a man on first, nobody out, and Jason Heyward coming up the bat. And he has an 0-1 count. Oh, no, he got out. I'm sorry. He got out. He says, one out now, top nine. But mind, if the Cubs could get one more run, this series is over because Chapman isn't going to blow this game. Now, Chapman's too good to blow this game. And if the Cubs get one more run, there's every reason to believe they'll be hosting game one of the NLCS. But wow, how about that giant bullpen? Unbelievable. Oh no, another error. Wow. What the hell happened here? Wow, I'm shocked. I really am. Oh boy. And that giant bullpen is disgusting. It really is. Why didn't more come out for the ninth? Why didn't more pitch only 8 innings? You know, think about some, you know, whatever. Wow, I'm shocked. I had this whole, you know, written piece about how bad the Cubs need game three. Expecting a 2-2-3-5. And it's 5-5 now. Unbelievable. Okay. So that completely throws that away. NHL hockey. The NHL season begins tomorrow. I'll go a little bit more in-depth to it on tomorrow's show, but I want to give you a quick preview of the season. Number one, this NHL season, both conferences, just like last year, are pretty much wide open. In the East, you got Pittsburgh, Washington, Florida seems to have gotten better in the offseason. The Islanders, who I was hoping they would keep Nielsen, who I think is one of the best players. He's gone now. I really was hoping that the Islanders would be contenders in the East. I think they took a step back this in the offseason. The Rangers are no longer what they used to be. They're older now. They had their chance to win. They're done. The Lightning are still there. The Panthers have gotten better, apparently. That's what they see on TV. I don't know. And the Devils. Why is it the Devils? I really think the Devils are going to be a huge wild card factor in this race for the Cup. They are definitely a playoff team. The offense is now there for the first time, probably since 2012 when they made it to the finals. They have offense. And they got, you know, they have to capitalize now to make a good postseason run. Because let's face it, Corey Schneider isn't getting any younger. He's still in his prime. He's still one of the most elite goaltenders in the NHL. That defense is probably one of the top 10 defenses in the NHL. Could be top five. Have a great head coach, two great goalies, a great defense, and they finally have some consistent offensive scorers who could score goals consistently and could help them average 3 or 4 goals a game instead of 1 or 2, which they did last season. Well, at least it felt that way anyway. In the West, you got Chicago, always a factor. San Jose. If they could play like they did last year before the finals, they could repeat as conference champions. And who else is in the West? There's one wild card that I was like, oh my God, Dallas can't win the West. Dallas has some cool, impressive offensive powers. They have decent defense, but they have no goaltending. I mean, their goaltending is horrific. And you can't win a cup when there's no goaltending. You have two goalies who are getting paid tons of money, and they're not playoff goaltenders. They're not consistent enough to win a cup. So Dallas, I don't care how many goals they score, how well they play, 6-5 Cubs. Uh-oh. Well, this year is over now. I highly doubt Chapman is going to blow the save, and the Cubs are going to the championship series. So, good for the Cubs. It's going to be Cubs against the winner of the Dodgers National Game 5. So the Stars aren't going anywhere. And the Kings. The Kings, for the first time, I feel, are falling behind the Western Conference. Because Chicago, Dallas, San Jose, all three teams have speed. They're quick. They're fast. And the Kings are slow. And not built on youth or speed. The Kings are getting older. And they have to catch up with the West. Because last year's Western Conference was so quick, so intense, the Kings couldn't catch up. And speed was what was the reason why San Jose beat LA in the first round, in five games too. Not even the close five games, it was a disaster for the Kings. But I'm a huge Kings fan, but they need speed. You know, they might be another version of the Devils of the late 90s. Great defense, great team, but with no speed, you can't get far. And the Kings need some youth and speed in their team, or they're not going anywhere. My prediction in the East is going to be Tampa at the end of the Cubs' ninth inning. We're going to the bottom of the ninth now, and a Giant are three outs away from being eliminated from the playoffs. But coming out of the East, I love Tampa. They got Stamkos back. If Stamkos can stay healthy, watch out. I think, once again, Pittsburgh and Tampa are going to be the two elite teams in the East. They'll definitely be the two favorites. I think Tampa over Pittsburgh only if they stay healthy. If Tampa can stay healthy, I think they'll be Eastern Conference champions. In the West, it's going to be between San Jose. And really, watch out, because even though, hold on a second, I gotta find out really quickly. And watch out for the Ducks. The Ducks, I think, you know, after what happened last year, after firing the head coach, Ducks. I mean, this team has been so close for so long. People have been saying they're due for one for like the longest time, and this year could be the year to cash in. Watch out for the Ducks. They have the talent to perform for a cup. They have the talent to go deep in the postseason. Their main players, like the Sharks, have to step up because they're now becoming the modern-day San Jose Sharks. A talented team, but they just can't do it when it counts most in the postseason. The Sharks woke up last year, over to the finals, and the Ducks do the same thing. So watch out for the Ducks. This may be their year to go back to the finals. It may be their year. More in-depth talk with the Devils tomorrow. More talk on third party tomorrow. And how this campaign could get even uglier. I'll see you tomorrow.